Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on Wednesday evening, February 8th, here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. It was a college young adult worship night where Pastor Billy Logan came, and it was the second week of a four-week series entitled The Pursuit of Love.
Awesome. Thanks for being here tonight. Thanks for worshiping. And tonight we're going to continue in our series that we started last week, titled The Pursuit of Love. And I think maybe we came with some different expectations last week on what we're going to hear about. But last week we talked about our first love. And we looked at, before we're in pursuit of any other types of love, any other type of relationship, our love for our first love, and that is Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself for us. That love must be above all and under all. Our all must be given to him. All of our love and devotion, all of our joy, what is that? The foundation of what brings us the most pleasure and joy in life must be our love that comes from knowing God in right relationship. And we finished last week with this. In the pursuit of love, we must love and desire with every fiber of our being, above all else, the one who pursued us first. And so we looked at this idea of this pursuit of love, and we looked at the one who pursued us first, and that was God in sending Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice, to be the atonement of our sins, to resurrect, to conquer death, so that we might have relationship with him, that might be the foundation of who we are, the foundation of the love that we experience in this lifetime. But tonight, we're going to continue in this discussion, and over the next 2 weeks, next week, we're going to be talking about dating, singleness, and all that fun stuff. And then the final week, we're going to be talking about marriage. And so tonight, you might ask what we're talking about. And we're going to get there in a moment. But I want to start off again with this quote that we read last week from C.S. Lewis. We read it last week, but I'm going to start every week off with it. And so let's read this quote here by C.S. Lewis. It says, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, and irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable." And that's C.S. Lewis. And what we're going to see here is that the New Testament of the Holy Bible, of the Scriptures, presents love as the defining ethical standard for Christians. And so love is above all. The Word says that, and these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And as we looked at last week in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 and 39, a teacher of the law says, "Teacher, which commandment is the greatest in Moses' teaching?" So he's asking Jesus a question. And Jesus answered him, "The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And we talked about that last week. And so this is what we're getting at this week. Before we move into the discussion about the pursuit of love in dating and then into marriage, we got to understand what Jesus is saying here. And so first he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So basically, all of who you are. He said, this is the greatest and most important commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so I want to go there before we get into the other discussions in the next couple weeks. What Jesus says is the second greatest commandment, and that is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you once again that we can be in this place, Lord, that we can glorify and lift your name high through song and through getting into your word and fellowshipping with one another, God. And I pray that you would open our hearts tonight, Lord, to your Holy Spirit, that we would make ourselves, God, that we would make ourselves vulnerable before you tonight, so that we might hear you, Lord, without any distractions, and know what it is to be loved by you, to love you, and to love others in every relationship that we have, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray all of this, God, and we give you thanks. Amen. And so if Jesus says that the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself, then we're going to have to talk about that in this idea, this pursuit of love. We're going to have to talk about it. Because if Jesus says it's the second greatest thing that we should probably adhere to, then I want to lean in and say, all right, what are you saying here? And so in Luke 10, one of the teachers comes back to him and he asks this same question. He says, then an expert in Moses' teaching, this is Luke 10, starting in verse 25. If you want to go there, click there, turn there. Luke 10, starting in verse 25. It says, then an expert in Moses' teaching stood up to test Jesus, and he asked, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And so if you're sitting here tonight, I want you to know that that's an important question that we all need to ask. God, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Because the opposite of eternal life is eternal death. And we do not want that. That's nothing that we want to even get near. And so, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered him, what is written in Moses' teaching? What do you read there? So Jesus answered him with a question. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus told him, you're right. Do this and life will be yours. But here's the question. But the man wanted to justify his question, and so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? All right. I understand that that's what the Word of God says. I need to love God with everything that I am. And I need to love my neighbor as I love myself. And so I understand the whole God thing. But who's my neighbor then, Jesus? Who does this cover? And as Jesus often does in the scriptures, if you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, oftentimes when he's asked a question, he either answers it with another question or he answers it with a story. And we call them parables. And here he says, A man went from Jerusalem to Jericho. All right. So if you're looking geographically, here's Jerusalem. Jericho's down yonder, not too far away, but south. A man went from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, robbers stripped him, beat him, and left him for dead. By chance, a priest was traveling along that road, and when he saw the man, he went around him and continued on his way. Then a Levite came to that place. When he saw the man, he too went around him and continued on his way. But a Samaritan, as he was traveling along, came across the man. When the Samaritan saw him, he felt sorry for the man, or he had compassion for the man. He went to him and cleaned and bandaged his wounds. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, the Samaritan took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. He told the innkeeper, take care of him, and if you spend more than that, I'll pay you on my return trip. And Jesus looks back at the man who's asking the question. Of these three men, who do you think was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by robbers? And the expert said, the one who was kind enough to help him. That's a real interesting way that he answers, and I'll tell you right here in just a second. The expert said, the one that was kind enough to help him, Jesus told him, go and imitate his example. Right? And so let me repaint the picture here. Jesus is talking to a Jewish leader in the law. He's in Jerusalem. And so he says a man is going from Jerusalem to Jericho. So he's talking about a Jew. And on his way, he gets robbed. He gets attacked. He's beaten. And just so happened during that day, a priest from Jerusalem sees him, passes by on the other side of the road. And then a Levite. You might say, well, what's a Levite? These were another group of people from the tribe of Levi from the Old Testament. And they served in the temple. They served in God's temple in Jerusalem. So this guy comes, he passes by on the other side of the road, and then a Samaritan comes. And you say, okay, what's a Samaritan? And Jews and Samaritans were kind of like, it's so funny because I didn't think about this example until just now. But verse 37, I'm going to tell you why that it's funny. The expert said, so he's answering Jesus. Jesus says, which one of these people was a neighbor? And the guy says, the one that was kind enough to help him, which was the Samaritan, But the reason that's funny is because Jews and Samaritans typically had a mutual hostility based on ethnic, religious, and political barriers. So Jews and Samaritans hated each other. But yet Jesus is talking to a Jewish leader, and the one that's a neighbor is the Samaritan. But the guy won't even answer him. The expert doesn't even say, oh, it was the Samaritan. He says, oh, it was the guy that was kind enough to help him. And my first thought was like, if you know Harry Potter, it's like Lord Voldemort, like the one that cannot be named. He's like, I'm not going to say a Samaritan. But if you don't know Harry Potter, then you wouldn't understand that. And then some of you know, but some of you don't. But see, so Samaritans were like, and then I also had this thought, if you know Harry Potter, but I just had it. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to get off track. But so Samaritans were like half-bloods. They were like half Jewish and half mixed with foreigners. And so the Jews in Jerusalem discredited them. They said they're not really God's people. And so they just butted heads. But what we're looking at here is we got Jesus telling a story to a Jewish leader. And the guy that is the neighbor to this guy is a Samaritan. And so what does this say to us about who our neighbor is? What does this say? When Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? And I mean, deep within, there might be things in our life that we don't like about ourselves, but ultimately we love ourselves. I mean, we're sitting here tonight, we got clothes on, we've probably showered in the last week, hopefully in the last couple of days. But you know what I'm saying? We take care of ourselves. And so Jesus is saying, what I want you to do, if you love me with everything you are, is I want you to love everybody. Everybody that you come in contact with that is not you, I want you to love them like it's you. I want you to see yourself in them. I want you to see me in them because they were made in my image. So in answering love your neighbor as yourself, he's telling the guy, hey, listen, your neighbor extends all the way to the person that you really don't even want to be around. The person that if at all costs you could avoid, that's your neighbor too. In Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, say this, be wise in the way you act toward those who are outside the Christian faith. Make the most of your opportunities. Everything you say should be kind. And the original text, the translation is seasoned with salt. Everything you say should be seasoned with salt and well thought out so that you know how to answer everyone. Be wise in the way you act towards those who are outside the Christian faith. Make most of your opportunities. Everything you say should be kind and well thought out so that you know how to answer everyone. Because in the ancient world, in Jesus' time, he speaks to those in his context with ways that they would understand this. And so in the ancient world, salt was used to preserve food and enhance the flavor. And so basically he's saying, listen, to those who don't know me, to those who don't know God, you should be wise in the way you act towards them and especially in the way you speak towards them and about them. Your speech should be uplifting. It should be seasoned with salt. It should taste good. When you speak to them, they should see that there's something different. Your speech should be uplifting, and that will draw them in. But see, what I wanted to take us here tonight is oftentimes when we think about neighbor, when we think about Jesus saying the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as you love yourself, we often think that's just people like that we don't know, maybe our actual neighbor, maybe someone we run into on the street, maybe the homeless guy standing out at the corner with the sign that I'm going to give him a couple bucks when I drive by and I've done my duty. And sometimes we think that is just neighbor. But like I said, neighbor is anybody that is not you. That's what Jesus is getting at. He's saying, if you will love me with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, with everything that you are, if you will just give me your life and you will love other people, then you got it. You got it. That's it. He said, this sums up the law. This sums up the law. Love me with everything, first off, and you got 99% of it done. But then now, out of that love, you need to love other people. And so that includes the church. Because if we were real honest here tonight, and some of you have been in church for a while, some of you may be new to church or newer to church, but sometimes it's easier to love people outside the church than it is to love the person sitting in your pew or on the couch or love people within the church walls. And then sometimes it's easier to love the people that are within the church wall so much that we forget to love the people that are outside the church wall, the building. I'm talking about the church building here. The church is the group of people that belong to Jesus. That's the church. It's a body of people that have given their lives to Jesus Christ. And so in neighbor, that encompasses the church too. And so I want to read a few scriptures here. And this comes from Romans 12, verses 4 through 16. Romans 12, verses 4 through 16. And on some of these, I don't really have a lot of commentary because I believe that the Word of God here speaks pretty clearly and plainly about what it's trying to convey. And so Romans 12, starting in verse 4, this is talking about the church. This is talking to us. It says, our bodies have many parts, but these parts don't all do the same thing. Right? We know that. In the same way, even though we are many individuals, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to each other. God, in his kindness, gave each of us different gifts. So what he's saying is, in the body of Christ, if we have given ourselves to Christ and we're part of his church, he's saying we're unique individuals. We're all individuals. But now in Christ, we have become one body. We're one body of believers. That's a phrase that we use a lot. We're a body of believers. But he's saying, just like your body, physically, your hand don't do what your foot does, your eye doesn't do what your ear does. He's saying the body of Christ wasn't designed for everybody to do the exact same thing as everybody else. He said God has given us different gifts. Some of them are to sing. Some of them are to play the guitar. Some of them are to play the drums. Some are to speak. Some are to run the tech team. Some are to clean. Some are to whatever it might be. God has given us different gifts. Some are good with social media. And so I think you get what I'm saying here. And he continues to write in verse 6. If your gift is speaking what God has revealed, make sure what you say agrees with the Christian faith. If your gift is serving, then devote yourself to serving. If it is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If it is encouraging others, devote yourself to giving encouragement. If it is sharing, be generous. If it is leadership, lead enthusiastically. And if it is helping people in need, help them cheerfully. And verse 9, love sincerely. And so what Paul assumes here is that his audience, the people he's talking to, just like I'm speaking to you right now, he assumes that these people already are showing love to one another, but he's saying, I want your love to be genuine and sincere. I want it to be sincere. So in verse 9, love sincerely, hate evil, and hold on to what is good. Be devoted to each other like a loving family. That's us. Excel in showing respect for each other. Don't be lazy in showing your devotion. Use your energy to serve the Lord. Be happy in your confidence. Be patient in trouble and pray continually. Share what you have with God's people who are in need. Be hospitable. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and don't curse them. Be happy with those who are happy. Be sad with those who are sad. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be arrogant, but be friendly to humble people. Don't think that you're smarter than you really are. And so Paul's writing to the church people. He's writing to us. He's saying, all right, I'm going to show you what this love looks like. And he continues in chapter 13 of Romans, verses 8 through 10. The subsection is titled, Love One Another. Right? And we're talking about this pursuit of love. He said, pay your debts as they come due. However, one debt you can never finish paying is the debt of love that you owe each other. The one who loves another person has fulfilled Moses' teachings. The commandments, never commit adultery, never murder, never steal, never have wrong desires. And every other commandment are summed up in this statement, love your neighbor as you love yourself. For love never does anything that is harmful to a neighbor. Therefore, love fulfills Moses' teachings. And do you see what we're getting at here? All through the New Testament, love, that is the DNA of who we are to be as believers. And until we can get our hearts fully attached to this saying of Jesus, this commandment of Jesus, to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, our strength, to really give ourselves completely over to Jesus, as we talked about last week. Make him the first love and our life. And then to love other people out of that love. I can tell you that the dating, singleness, the marriage those kind of things are going to be a lot rockier until we can get our mind and our heart set in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 4:29, as we continue to talk here in the church, Ephesians 4:29, Paul writes this, "Don't say anything that would hurt another person. Instead, speak only what is good so that you can give help wherever it is needed. That way, what you say will help those who hear you." I mean, if you were honest and vulnerable tonight, right? Love is vulnerable. We talked about that already at the beginning. And he's right here. Don't say anything that would hurt another person. If we were honest tonight, could we really look ourselves in the mirror and say, "I've never said anything that would hurt another person. You know what? I've done this. I've been nailing this straight on the head, Billy. My love has been sincere. You know, it's been genuine. This isn't for me tonight." Because if we were honest, we would probably say, "You know what? I've struggled with these things. I don't think I've really loved my neighbor well. I don't think I've loved those around me in the church well. I think this might be for me tonight." And I love in 1 Peter 2:17. I'm giving you a lot of scripture tonight because as I studied for this night, I was like, man, the Bible just chapter after chapter, verse after verse, it was just giving it to me. And I was like, so I'm just going to let God speak through his word. 1 Peter 2:17 says, "Honor everyone, love your brothers and sisters in the faith, fear God, honor the emperor." That pumped me up when I read it the first time. It was almost like, honor everyone, love your brothers and sisters in the faith, fear God, honor the emperor, right? We won't get into the whole idea of what he's getting into, except for the fact that he's saying all people are deserving of respect, for they're all created in God's image. All people are deserving of respect, for they're created in God's image. Sin has broken that image. It's scarred it. It's broken the image. It's separated us from God. But in Christ Jesus, we find wholeness. We find that he can restore that image that we were created in. And this might be the hardest part, or one of them. We're going to continue in God's word here. Luke chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 27. And this is talking about love again. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. Love your enemies. But I tell everyone who is listening, love your enemies. Be kind to those who hate you. It's like, can you imagine if Jesus was sitting here? Now listen, you need to be kind to those who hate you. It's like, these people are probably like, but Jesus, they hate me. He's like, I know. Be kind to them. Bless those who curse you. What do you mean, bless those who curse? No, bless those who curse you. Someone curses you, calls down curses on you, bless them. Pray for those who insult you. I don't know about you, but being an athlete growing up, especially when I was in high school, I like to talk trash. Sometimes they had to call timeout, and I'm not bragging about it, but I'm the catcher back there. It's easy when you're back there catching to be talking trash to the hitter and nobody even knows what's going on. Like, you're just whispering in their ear. So when he says, I want you to pray for those who insult you, can you think about that? If someone insults you, is your first thought, I'm going to pray for them? You're insulting to me. Let me pray for you. Right? No, that doesn't come naturally to us. That's not the way that naturally we want to respond when we're being insulted. It has to be a work of God in our hearts. In verse 29, if someone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other cheek as well. If someone takes your coat, don't stop him from taking your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you for something. And if someone takes what is yours, don't insist on getting it back. Do for other people everything you want them to do for you. If you love those who love you, do you deserve any thanks for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you help those who help you, do you deserve any thanks for that? Sinners do that too. If you lend anything to those from whom you expect to get something back, do you deserve any thanks for that? For sinners also lend to sinners to get back what they lend. Rather, love your enemies, help them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. I don't know about you all, but did you hear what Jesus is saying here about love? If you're only going to love people that love you back, So what? And then he says, rather love not your best friend, love your enemies and help them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then you will have a great reward. You will be children of the Most High God. After all, he is kind to unthankful and evil people. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. And I just got a few more scriptures here. I know this is a lot, but I pray that we can allow God to speak to our hearts through it. He says, the Most High God is kind to unthankful and evil people. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. How easy is it? How easy is it to look at somebody and say, they don't deserve that? Why did God give that to them? What have they done that I haven't done? They're so rude. Like, man, they're so rude and unkind. They're so ungrateful. I don't know about you, but that's easy to look at people and say, you know what? They're so ungrateful. Like, they don't deserve any of that. But it says that God, he's kind to unthankful and evil people. He was kind. And when we were unthankful, when we were in sin, apart from Jesus Christ, God was kind to us. So he's saying that we too should be merciful because we've been shown mercy. And that's the last piece that I have here. A few more scriptures. Because in loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, right? In loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, that calls us to show forgiveness to other people. And this might be the hardest part to swallow about this pursuit of love tonight. In Matthew 6, verses 12 through 15, Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, right? So they're on the mountainside and they're like, you know, teacher, teach us how to pray like John's disciples. He taught them how to pray. And so Jesus is teaching them this prayer, and this should be the nature of their heart as they pray. And he gets down to this one line and he says, forgive us as we forgive others. And then after he finishes the prayer, he says this in verses 14 and 15 of Matthew 6. If you forgive the failures of others, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your failures. And so once we come to this understanding, like, you know what? I need to be forgiven. I need Jesus in my life. I know I've messed up and I've done wrong. I feel guilt that I don't want to feel. I feel shame that shouldn't be there. And so, God, I need you to forgive me. I want your forgiveness. I give you my life. And so then God comes and he forgives us. He makes us brand new. He makes us into a new creation. And then something may happen, come up in our life, and we're like, I can't forgive that person. No, I can't forgive them. That was too much. And I know some of you are probably wrestling with things that are like so much heavier than I could understand. But I know that you can trust God. But what he's saying here is, listen, I've forgiven you. I'm offering you my forgiveness, but if you're not going to forgive others, what am I to do? And this same emphasis on the necessity of forgiveness is found all throughout. I've listed four more here that you can look up. Mark 11:25, Luke 11:4, Ephesians 4:32, Colossians 3:13, and they all say the similar thing, but if you don't forgive other people, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. And forgiveness is a hard thing. Forgiveness is a hard thing. Three more scriptures here, and then we're going to have the worship team come back up. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. So then, as Christians, do you have any encouragement? Do you have any comfort from love? Do you have any spiritual relationships? Do you have any sympathy and compassion? Then fill me with joy by having the same attitude and the same love, living in harmony and keeping one purpose in mind. Don't act out of selfish ambition or be conceited. Instead, humbly think of others as being better than yourselves. Don't be concerned only about your own interests, but also about the interests of others. Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And you're like, yeah, that's a lot easier said than done. And you're exactly right. Everything we've been talking about tonight, about loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, quite frankly, it's impossible without a miracle of God working in our hearts. Without the power of God's Holy Spirit at work within us when we put our faith in him, that is impossible. Because it might be easy to look at God's word or look at what he done, what when he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, it might be easy to say, you know what? He sent his son to die for me. I can love him, absolutely. But these broken people, how do you want me to love these other people that are broken? God, that's too much. I'll love you, but other people, we'll see. But Jesus says that this commandment is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. He is our example. And this is only possible when the power of God's Holy Spirit is at work within our hearts. 1 John 3:18, dear children, we must show love through actions that are sincere, not through empty words. And so what he's saying is, hey, it's easy to say, yeah, I know, I love them. I love them. Yeah, I love those people. He said, no, let's show it through our actions and be sincere, not just through words. Not through empty words. Last scripture, 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12. This section is how God's love lives in his people. God's love lives in his people. And it says this in verse 7. Dear friends, we must love each other because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love doesn't know God because God is love. God has shown us his love by sending his only son into the world so that we could have life through him. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us first and sent his son to be the payment for our sins. Dear friends, if this is the way God loved us, we must also love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. He's saying no one's seen God. No one has fully seen him in his fullest form. But he's saying if we love one another, if we who call ourselves by the title of Christians, those who belong to Christ, once we give our lives over to him, he's saying if we love one another well, like we've talked about tonight, and love other people, then God lives in us and other people are going to see that love. And they're going to say, that's what God looks like. That's what love looks like. I want that. That's attractive. Give me some of that. Like what? That's real, right? We all like real. We don't like fake. We don't like artificial. We like real. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, if we love each other, then God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. For John, the writer here, these two expressions of love God with all that you are and love your neighbor as yourself, they're his words of this commentary. They are inextricably tied together. We can't wholeheartedly claim one without the other. We must love God. We must love the church and our neighbor. They're tied together in one. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And you say, Pastor Billy, what are you getting at? I thought this was going to be about love and like relationships and all that stuff. I want to hear about that. And I understand that stuff's more exciting, you know? Who doesn't want to talk about dating and marriage and advice? I like to stay up. I like to read those articles, read marriage blogs, read dating and relationships and all of this type of stuff. But what I wanted to get at these first 2 weeks is that until our hearts are fully satisfied in God, until we say, all right, you know what? I am so satisfied in him that he is my joy. You know what? I just love him. He's everything good in my life. And then out of that, we can say, you know, I genuinely am going to love people simply because God loves people, right? And so out of that love that God has poured into me, I'm going to love others. And then from that comes the foundation for building a lasting relationship with another person. From that comes this idea that then we can be in pursuit of another person. But oftentimes God calls us into seasons of singleness and seasons of dating and maybe one day into engagement, into marriage. And we're going to cover those topics over the next couple weeks. But I wanted us to get this idea driven into our hearts. This idea that our love for God should be greater than any other love in our life. The joy that we get from God should be greater than the joy that we get from any other person in our life. because he's worthy. Because he showed us his love by sending his only son to die on that cross so that we might have life. And so I'm excited for the rest of the series. This was probably the hardest one to preach out of the 4 weeks. I love talking last week about loving God because that's something that my heart is just overflowing with right now. Something he's challenging me with. Billy, do you really love me with everything that you are? Like, I want you, your best time, your best devotion, your best thoughts of the day. He's challenged me with that still. This message is hard. To love other people like this, to love people who hate us, might say bad things about us, but yeah, we're supposed to bless them and pray for them. And so this is a hard message, but it's possible because God's love transforms our hearts.